Running a learning business today requires attention to growing reach, generating revenue, and demonstrating real impact, all while navigating constant change and fierce competition for learners' time and money.
To help, we've curated a collection of free resources for learning business professionals. You'll find frameworks, briefings, and reports, webinars, and tools focused on strategy, portfolio design, pricing, marketing, and more, all created specifically for organizations that sell continuing education and professional development.
If you care about building a stronger, more sustainable learning business, visit leadinglearning.com/free resources.
That's leadinglearning.com/free resources for practical tools and strategic insight to help you grow your reach, revenue, and impact.
If you're a leader or an aspiring leader in the business of lifelong learning, you're in the right place. I'm Salisa Steele.
And I'm Jeff Cobb. And this is the Leading Learning Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to episode 200 of the Leading Learning Podcast, which we are recording live at Podcast Movement 2019 in Orlando, Florida.
That's right, and we are in the midst of what really does feel like a movement here in Orlando. We're at the Rose and Shingle Creek Hotel, which is a large place. It's a big resort hotel, and I think Podcast Movement is taking up most of it. Certainly, they're taking up the conference center. There's a huge exhibit hall here, thousands of podcasters that we're in the midst of. And I think it's pretty exciting. It's kind of exhilarating to be here and know all these people are actually doing podcasting.
Well, yeah, and I'm not sure if it's going to be what our listeners will hear or not, but we're getting quite a bit of just noise and excitement because there are so many people. We're right outside of the exhibit hall where there are many, many companies here supporting podcasters and podcast shows, and it really is, like you said, it's in the name, Podcast Movement. It does feel like we're part of something that really has taken off.
And so here we are at episode 200, which is also very hard to believe, believe that this many people are podcasting, believing that that we've done 200 of these shows at this point. I'm not sure either one of us knew we would make it this far when we started this out originally as just the lead up to one of our events as a way to support that event. But of course, as we like to do whenever we've achieved any sort of milestone, it's a good time to pause and reflect and think a little bit about the future. We've done this with, for example, our learning technology design events. We always do a kind of after action review on those. We paused it, I believe it was episode 100 that we did with.
We did with Brian McGowan.
That's right, yeah. And unfortunately, we do not have Brian here this time, but shout out to Brian for being a fan of the podcast, being on the podcast multiple times and helping us with that 100th episode. The special circumstances for the 200th are again, that we're here at Podcast Movement.
Well, and it's also interesting, too, that the 200th episode roughly coincides with us completing our fourth year of the podcast and beginning the fifth year. And like you said, I'm not sure either of us anticipated that we would go to 200 episodes or that we'd be, starting our fifth year of the podcast. But it really has been a tremendous opportunity for us personally to be able to learn a lot from the folks that we interview, learn from preparing for our own episodes, and here we are at this milestone.
And so we're going to talk a little bit about, why we do this, sort of where we are with the podcast, where podcasting is in general. Before we do any of those things, though, I think we should probably say a huge thank you to everybody who has helped us to get here. Certainly, if you're out there listening right now, thank you for doing that. And if you're, a repeat listener, repeat thank yous for that. And certainly, thank you to the companies who have helped sponsor us over the years. That's been an important part of our being able to do this. So, I think we probably just couldn't express our gratitude enough. If nobody's out there listening, if nobody's supporting, then there's no reason to be doing this in the first place. So we're thrilled that there are clearly people out there listening. We do get a lot of good feedback on the podcast. So
yes, deep gratitude, as Jeff said, to listeners and to everyone, sponsors and others who help make this possible, the interviewees who take their time.
Right. So we thought we should talk a little bit about why we do this, both to kind of reaffirm for ourselves, also for anybody who might be new to Leading Learning, this may be your first episode, or you may have only been listening for a little while and haven't necessarily heard us talk about in the past why we do this. And also because we think, you know, if you happen to be considering starting a podcast, which so many companies and organizations are now doing, or if you're, you know, trying to get more out of your podcast, really, I mean, understanding your why is incredibly important for any venture in life, and that certainly applies to a podcast as well.
That's right, and I think, you know, for us, one of the major whys is awareness of the sector that we serve, the third sector of education.
That's right, and we talk about that a lot, that we feel that there is this third sector of education and learning. You know, it's not the K-12 sector, it's not the higher education sector, it's that sector that serves the rest of life, basically, when you're done with those other things and you've still got your career and your life ahead of you. There's this whole group of, you know, organizations, individuals, businesses out there who play really a critical role and an increasingly critical role in supporting lifelong learning, continuing education, professional development, and it is, in fact, a big business. I mean, we talk about the learning business. A big reason that we undertook this podcast in the first place, as you said, is to raise awareness of that, to raise awareness of that third sector, to raise awareness that there is this learning business out there, and then to increase the appreciation for it, because we feel like it has been underappreciated over time.
Yes, appreciation as important, more important than awareness itself. And, you know, as you were just pointing out, this is tremendously important work, tremendously significant work that the third sector does. I mean, that, you know, without the third sector, it would be so difficult to maintain just a career trajectory. We know that we're changing jobs more often. We know that we're living longer, and to make those the longer lives, to make those career changes meaningful, and to make them actually something where we can flourish. I mean, that's what the third sector is all about. And so there's just deep appreciation for the really, really important work that the third sector does across all types of fields and professions and industries.
Yeah, and I think that's important too, because part of the appreciation, part of the awareness on our part is also establishing a sense of identity for learning business professionals. I mean, we consider ourselves to be learning business professionals. We serve learning business professionals, and for us, that transcends, you know, where you might be working. A lot of people might be working in a trade or professional association. You might be working in a continuing education division at a college or university. You might be working for a training company. But in all of those different types of organizations, you might be a solo entrepreneur. In all of those different ways of approaching lifelong learning and serving lifelong learning, you are a learning business professional. That's sort of the higher level category, the higher level identity that you have. And we want to support that. And we also, you know, want to help really increase the professionalism that goes with that, help support maturity as a learning business and as a learning business professional.
Absolutely, and we've done work with the learning business maturity model, for example,
right,
where we're trying to help come to sort of a shared understanding. You know, you mentioned identity, Jeff, and I think part of identity is not only having this label of the third sector or this label of, you know, I work in a learning business, I'm a learning business professional, but then there's also this idea around, okay, what topics and domains, you know, do we all have in common? You know, where should we be focusing time and energy and effort? And so that's why we've laid out those domains and really thought about what it might take to get more mature. And those are the kinds of topics that we explore on the podcast.
Definitely, definitely. And of course, I mean, those are also topics that's really at the heart of our work. That is our vision. That is our mission around serving the learning business, elevating the recognition and the appreciation for the business. It's probably worth touching on, you know, why do a podcast as part of that? Because we could serve that bigger why in a lot of ways. You know, why specifically do a podcast at this point?
Yes, I think that's a great point, because we do support professionalization and this idea of we can have shared domains. We do support that work in other aspects as well, the podcast being one way in which we do it. And for me, one of the things that I love about podcasting, both, you know, our own podcast that we're hosting, but also just what I love in listening to others, is that to to me, it seems to blend both the benefits of on-demand access. So I can, you know, as a listener, I get to choose when to listen to a podcast. I get to choose where to listen to a podcast. And then it blends sort of that the benefits of on-demand, but I think it's still a fairly personal medium, that there is something about the voice that is a human connection. And I think, too, because of, again, I know my own listening habits, I don't tend to listen at work, even if I'm listening to a podcast for work reasons. I don't tend to sit at my desk and listen to it. I tend to do it when I'm exercising or when I'm in transit or, you know, washing the dishes or something like that. And so it tends to connect with listeners in a more personal setting than the office.
And you've used the word intimate before. It's a intimate medium, because you really feel like somebody who's doing a podcast is sort of becoming part of your space. It's funny, people who will walk up to us now and they recognize our voices even if they haven't seen us before, and they're thrilled to connect with us in person. But you know how it is. I think particularly of the, you know, NPR's line of podcast, or the tend to come over NPR, you know, the Krista Tippett's and the Ira Glass and Terry Gross, those sorts of people. I mean, you feel like you know those people,
yeah.
You know, and they're part of a conversation with you. I remember talking to Kiki Lattalion a while back about podcasting. She does such a great job, and it's, you know, from her perspective, it's the story, it's the conversation that you're building with people. And I think podcasting, it's so accessible from the listener's point of view. We also liked it because it was accessible from our point of view as well. I mean, it's not that hard to start a podcast, you know, for any person or organization who wants to do it. The technology is not difficult to master. Of course, sustaining it, you know, over time, that's a challenge. And obviously, we've managed to do that and plan to keep doing that. But that does take effort to do. But then you get that ongoing conversation, that ability to continually be engaged with the topics, the with your audience. I think it helps us become better while we're also trying to help our listeners become better.
Absolutely. I know that I learn a tremendous amount in preparing for and then talking with the folks that we invite on for conversations. And that's a powerful tool for me personally in my learning. And hopefully it's a powerful tool for listeners as well.
Yeah. And of course, one of the obvious aspects of podcasting is leveraging the technology to reach a lot of people. You can reach a lot of people in a very cost-effective sort of way with podcasting, which I think is attractive to, you know, so many people who go into podcasting. And that might be a good place to talk about kind of where we are with podcasting at this point, because, I mean, we said at the beginning, we're here at Podcast Movement. This feels like a movement here, but podcasting in general is enjoying what I think is a second really big wave of growth and popularity. In fact, you know, just in the past year, we heard Tom Webster from Edison talking about this yesterday. They do great work research on podcasting and podcasting growth, and we'll be sure to link to the Edison report on this. But he noted that the number of Americans in the U.S. who listen to podcasts weekly has grown by 14 million over the past year. We now have 62 million people in the U.S. listening to podcasts weekly, which just blows my mind.
That is a pretty amazing, I think, noteworthy statistic there. Just that growth in the past year.
Yeah,
I mean, it was already a big number, and then, you know, 14 million more in the past year.
Yeah, so, you know, if you're trying to reach an audience, some significant percentage of that audience is listening to podcasts at this point. And of course, you know, the world, the business world is waking up to this. Apple has traditionally been the source of podcast. It still is in the United States. It's the main channel. But, you know, Spotify is trying to make a go at it now and is investing significantly in doing that. Just bought up a couple of companies for, I think, $500 million or so to expand its network, and particularly outside of the United States, you know, Spotify is becoming a very big thing. So people really focusing on reaching that network and building that network to podcast listeners.
Well, and a recent announcement, and it was highlighted in a session I attended yesterday, is what Google is doing with podcasts now. I mean, about a year ago, Google launched their podcast app, but earlier this month, or earlier in August of 2019, they announced that now podcast individual episodes are showing up in search results in Google.
Yep, and that's true. We encourage anybody listening to go and search for podcast on the learning business and see what comes up. I've been doing this. I've asked some other people to do it, and Leading Learning has been coming up first in the play box so far, and you can play it right there on Google. And this is just going to become more and more of a thing as Google focuses on it. As part of what Google's doing, as part of what NPR is leading an initiative around podcasting data, getting access to listener data, who's actually listening, not the specific individuals, but in the aggregate, how many downloads you're getting, those sorts of things. That's gotten a whole lot better just over the past few years. When we started out, it was hard to get any information about what kind of impact we were having to get any real sort of data. It still has a long ways to go, but we're now using a service like Chartable, which really gives us some insight into how many plays we're getting, where we're getting them, and helps us to know what's working with the podcast. And of course, I'm talking about data. Data is such a big thing everywhere these days, and that's probably a good place for us to be grateful to one of our sponsors for this quarter.
Authentic Learning Labs is an e-learning company that offers products and services to help improve your current investments in education. One key product is Authentic Analytics, a dedicated suite of visualization reports to help analyze and predict the performance of education programs. Organizations use Authentic Analytics to easily scan through volumes of data in intuitive visuals, chart performance trends, and quickly spot opportunities, issues, and potential future needs. Find out more at leadinglearning.com/authentic.
So definitely do visit Authentic. As we said at the beginning, we're incredibly thankful to the sponsors that we've had that have made this possible, and Authentic is one of those, and they do some great things with data, so check that out. And so we're talking about where podcasting is, more data now, Google getting involved, Spotify getting more involved, Apple we know is going to get, I feel like they haven't really woken up to what they've created yet, but they're starting to, I think. So a lot of growth. We're going to continue to see growth in podcasting and a lot of evolution, I'm sure, in what those listeners look like and how people listen and what they listen to in the coming years.
Well, and I'll just mention, on top of data being more available now too, there's also been a real push towards having standards around that data, so that whether you're looking at platform A or platform B, that when you look at downloads in either platform, that those would actually mean the same things. And so the IAB standards around that, is that International Advertising Bureau? Is it
right? Right. Yeah.
And so they've put some of those out, and now more platforms are coming out saying we are IAB compliant and we follow that. So again, it seems to me a clear step in the podcast sector maturing.
Yeah, that's when you start to get standards, that's a clear sign of maturity. And IAB being involved, the remote access data initiative that NPR is involved with. So we're just going to see more of that happening. And of course, with that maturity too, we hope the entrepreneurial spirit of podcasting won't be quashed by that, but I think it's probably going to be resistant to that as a medium. And that might be a good place to talk about kind of our entrepreneurial spirit, how we see growing and evolving with Leading Learning, how we already have, I guess, in some ways, and then how we see continuing to do that in the coming, next 100 episodes or so.
And maybe one place to start is to talk a little bit about the show notes. I know at every episode, we always encourage people to check out the show notes. You can find the show notes for this episode at leadinglearning.com/episode200. And we do encourage you to check those out. And if you haven't checked them out in a while, it would be worth going back. I'm not sure I have the exact date in mind, but we did recently add in timestamps. So, when we have show notes, it'll have a little timestamp right there. So if you want to go back and be able to listen to the segment on, when we were sharing the statistics around how many podcast listeners that there are in the U.S. now, for example, that might be a timestamp you can find in the show notes, and you can click right there and get to that little chunk of audio.
Right. And, if you never have checked out the show notes, we intend those to be a solid resource for each episode. We take great care to put those together. Jackie Harmon on our team, shout out to Jackie, does a great job of pulling those together. And we've started focusing lately on trying to make them even more useful. So, you know, we've done more to help to organize them and, you know, create different segments of content within them. We've put, you know, richer content into them. They're so starting to add in videos. We always link to resources that we reference in the in each episode. So doing more of that and just really trying to make those a rich resource. And really for a number of reasons. I mean, one is just very practical on our end for search engine optimization being found. But then also, you know, if you are listening and you want to go back yourself and be able to review and reflect, you have that as a resource to do that. The podcast is also a great tool to use with teams, too, and we're trying to support that more going forward. So that's part of the reason to organize the show notes. Everybody can listen to an episode, have those show notes to refer to. We're thinking about potentially putting together, you know, discussion guides for some episodes, or at least start doing clear, you know, reflection questions or discussion questions that we would add to each episode. And we'd love to hear feedback from listeners on that. If that is something you would like to see, definitely comment on this episode, again, at leadinglearning.com/episode200, or send us an email at leadinglearning@tagoras.com. We'd love to hear your perspective on that.
And another aspect we want to explore more, we've done a little bit of this, is the idea of curating ourselves, some self-curation. And I know, Jeff, you've spent some time putting together kind of the informal learning business curriculum.
That's right. I mean, you know, we've done 200 episodes at this point, so we have to start doing some work to help make sure people can get the value out of those, because we try to create mostly perennial type content. I mean, this is, you know, an event-based sort of episode, but most episodes are going to be things that you can return to over time, so we want to make those easy to find. So, like you said, recently we created an informal learning business curriculum. That's actually, right now, it's saved to the top of the homepage on leadinglearning.com, so you go to leadinglearning.com and you'll see it there. It's also the most shared item we have on the site right now. You can see that over in the right rail. And we're gonna be doing that with some other items, you know, leading up to this show and afterwards. For example, we've talked with a lot of people who are really kind of rock stars in the whole, you know, learning and development world. I think we're gonna pull together a post on that. People like, you know, Will Talheimer. We have Jane Bozarth coming up. You know, she's somebody that would be on there. So putting that type of thing together, and we'll make that obvious on the site. We also encourage you to follow us over on LinkedIn. If you go to leadinglearning.com/LinkedIn, that'll put you on our LinkedIn page, and that's another place where we'll put some of that curation together to help you get as much value out of the content on the Leading Learning site as possible, which goes beyond podcasts. It's not just the podcast. There are blog posts. There are other sorts of resources. There's the webinar series, the newsletter, so all of that, and helping to curate that more.
And that is a recent-ish change for us.
Right.
We really have moved our blogging from the Tagora site over to Leading Learning. We really are seeing Leading Learning as the home for the identity of the third sector, of the learning business professional, and that's where we're trying to house the variety of resources that we make available.
Right. And, you know, as we go forward, we're going to be looking at our content model, our business model, flash briefings that you're going to typically get over a smart speaker, something we're going to look at doing going forward. I mentioned Kiki Latalian earlier. She started doing some of that with her podcast, that's something we're going to be looking into. We're going to be looking at possibly a community aspect, not just to the podcast, but to the Leading Learning site in general, and we've done various things with community over time, but maybe looking at that as both kind of the content model, possibly part of the business model going forward. That may be a paid community. We still need to work through that. But I mean, part of what we do at Tagoras and through Leading Learning is to try things out, to walk the walk, you know, and figure out what works and what doesn't, and report back on it. So, you know, we've done that with our virtual events. We've done that with the podcast. We'll continue to do that as we experiment with new aspects of the content model, new aspects of the business model. One aspect of the business model that has been successful for us, it's helped Leading Learning to be possible and to grow as a podcast, and that we are going to continue to expand and work on and figure out, you know, new and better ways to work with companies on, is sponsorship. We have had success with sponsorship, you know, once we got up and running and really started to get the audience listening. And so this is probably another great time to give a nod to another one of our sponsors for this quarter of the Leading Learning Podcast.
Comm Partners helps learning businesses conceive, develop, and fulfill their online education strategy. Their solutions begin with Elevate LMS, an award-winning learning platform that provides a central knowledge community and drives learner engagement. To extend the value of Elevate, Comm Partners provides a wide range of online education services, including curriculum design, instructional design, fully managed webinars, webcasts, live stream programs, and virtual conferences. Find out more at leadinglearning.com/Comm Partners.
So again, definitely do visit Comm Partners. Comm Partners has been very supportive of our work in general over the years, and certainly a great presence in the learning business. So do pay them a visit, and I think we're probably getting to the end of what it makes sense to cover here in episode 200. So as we're exiting here from Podcast Movement 2019 in Orlando, we will say that you should go and visit those show notes that that we talked about as part of the episode. You can always find those very easily if you just know what the episode number is. Just go to leadinglearning.com/episode number. And in this case, it's leadinglearning.com/episode200 to get the very rich and useful show notes for this episode.
As always, we would appreciate a rating and review. If you can carve out just a couple minutes to do that, we would be truly grateful for that. You can go to leadinglearning.com/Apple. That will put you in the right place to leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts for us.
And if you don't use Apple Podcasts, you know, wherever you do get your podcast, there's going to be, you know, some sort of review mechanism there, rating, review. Please do that. It really does make a world of difference in people finding us. And, you know, if you go and look, you'll see reviews that are already there and what people are saying. And that'll give you some inspiration. It's pretty easy to write up something quickly, and it'll help us know, you know, that you find the podcast valuable and that and why you find it valuable. And again, it helps others find it, too, because it's much more likely to pop up in a search if you do that. We'd also be very grateful if you're not already a subscriber to Leading Learning to please subscribe. There are a variety of ways to do that. You'll see those on any of the show notes for the episode, or go to leadinglearning.com/podcast, and you will see all of the variety of ways to subscribe, whether that's on Apple, whether it's on Stitcher, whether it's on Spotify, whether it's on, we're on iHeartRadio or on Pandora. You can subscribe on any Android device. So we've got it covered. Wherever there are podcasts, you can find Leading Learning.
And of course, as we said at the outset of this episode, we are truly grateful for everyone who's helped to make the podcast possible all along the way, including our sponsors. So we would be grateful if you would take a minute to check out those sponsors, and you can find out more about Comm Partners and all they have to offer at leadinglearning.com/Comm Partners, and you can find out more about Authentic Learning Labs and its offerings at leadinglearning.com/authentic.
And last but certainly not least, podcasts are just a great thing to share with the people that you know and respect and perhaps love. That might be your team at work, as we said, you know, using the podcast as sort of a social learning object that that you can have some fruitful discussion around, or getting out there on social media, tweeting about it, sharing it on Facebook. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/leadinglifelonglearning. We welcome you there, and of course you can share on Facebook. Any way you do it, we'd be truly grateful if you would let your world know about the Leading Learning Podcast.
And so with that, that's a wrap, and we'll see you next time on the Leading Learning Podcast.